أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله، وأشهد أنه قد بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة وجاهد في سبيل الله حق جهاده حتى آتاه الله اليقين. الحمد لله، by the grace of Allah, that we have opportunity, inshallah, together to study the structure of the Muslim family. And the build-up of the Muslim family, we found out there are certain fundamentals and it must be built. And one of those is the Muslim ethics, akhlaq, manners. Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was describing him, he said, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. That means you have the best ethics among all. I've been talking quite some times about the ethics and the different types of ethics. Today I want to talk about one. It can be considered ethics and at the same time attribute of the Muslim character, which is promoting good and fighting evil. One of the dilemma that we are living in today, that we are accepting the message of Islam, but at the same time, when it comes down to the dynamic of the message, we are neglecting that part. The whole dynamic, the whole engine of the message of Islam revolves around the word, the promoting good and fighting evil. When you say Shahada, which is the first thing on the Shahada, what you say? What we all know, the first reward revealed to Sayyidina Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, it was read. But what is the first word in Shahada? The first word in Shahada is the word La, no. What does that mean? It means no, I am not accepting reality. I have to change it. I am not going to take it as is. My job as a Muslim, and here is my commitment, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, that means I am not accepting to obey other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I have Sayyidina Muhammad as my role model. So what is the value? All the discrepancy that we are living in now, and all the weakness that we are living in now, it is not a lack of resources, it is not lack of knowledge, it is not even lack of belief, but it is a lack of promoting good and fighting evil. We are leaving that to someone else to do it, and we are turning our back to it. And what we ended up, look at the situation, and look at your status as individual, to the Muslim family status, and to the Muslim country status. And see what they are doing when it comes to promoting good and fighting evil. They are turning their back, so alhazu billah, they are going under by the second. But what is the value of promoting good and fighting evil? Before we go any further, we have to define what is good and what is evil. We have two standards to defining good and fighting evil. In the definition, one of the unfortunate part is they cannot, these two standards, they cannot work with each other. They don't compromise with each other. And you have to have a choice. Either you go by one or you go by the other. But you cannot have a part of here and part of there. Or sometimes go by this and another time you can go by that. You are not. You're not going to get the benefit out of this or the benefit out of that. There are only two ways to do it. The first way, it says this. What's good for me is good. What's bad for me is bad. What's convenient for me is good. What's inconvenient is bad. That's the first approach. And that's the classic approach. And the second approach is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala approach. And what is that approach? What is right is good.
And what is harmful
is bad. What you know is good. What you think you know is bad. There is a big difference between you do what you know it is right and you do what you think it is right. So, the value here, if we're going to use Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala approach in our life, that means we will define what's good by how Allah define what is good. يريد الله بكم اليسر ولا يريد بكم العسر. Allah want to make your life more easier. He doesn't want to make it harder. So you see what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it lawful, and that's what you do. Even if you have to pay a price for it. And you see what is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbid. And he said this is harmful. And that is the evil that you're supposed to fight. What is, so now, the Muslim is not who will define what is good and bad. The Muslim, he will accept what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala defined as good and bad. And the attributes of that good and bad is what? What is the importance of it in our life? Number one, it gives you, like you can, exactly like you go to the doctor and he will check your blood, and he check your pulse, he check your blood pressure, he check your physical, and come and say, you are healthy, or you got little problem here and there, and let us work it out, and here is the medication, and give you the prescription. Exactly, for the iman, there is a doctor. And that doctor called the conscious, your conscious. And how you know that you have a good conscious or bad conscious, or even to start with, if your conscious is working or not working, by your attitude about good and promoting good and fighting evil. If you are promoting good and fighting evil, alhamdulillah. If you are accepting and keep on going, you know the amount of disease that you have in your iman. We do not, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not need our prayer and our fasting and our all and our hajj and our zakat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordained all of these on us to develop a character. This character will be able to promote good and fight evil. And that's what Imaratul Ard, or the prosperity, or the purpose of your creation is all about. أَمْ حَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ لَاعِبِينَ. Do you think we created you as an act of play? You have a job to do. Everything around you got a job. What is your job? You have to know what is your job. Your job is to promote good and fight evil. So, promoting good and fighting evil is your immune system. Can you imagine a body without no immune system? All kind of germs, all kind of bacteria, all kind of disease can eat him alive. And that's exactly what we allow to happen when we, to the iman, our iman, when we do not promote good and fight evil. It is one of the major requirements. One of the major requirements for the validity of La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. We are not, when we give the testimony, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, and the declaration, it is not recognition. The shahada is never been only a recognition. That I recognize there is no deity worth worshipping but Allah, and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. That's not it. But what you are saying here, it is a contract. I accepted that contract. I am committing myself to live the life according to La ilaha illallah and according to the way of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that means I'm going to promote the good that Muhammad promoted and the Quran promoted, and I'm going to fight the evil that the Quran fought and forbid us from doing, and Muhammad told us that it is bad. That's what the shahada is all about. So it is not a declaration. It is a signing contract. This is my way of life, and this is how I'm going to live the rest of my life. The act of promoting good and fighting evil is not one incident that you do. It is not some act that has a beginning and has an end on it, and you take a rest or you flip the page. The promoting good and fighting evil is a state. It's not act. There is a difference in between the two. A state, it means it is 24/7. Something you are in it 24/7. Breathing is a state, is not an act. You cannot stop breathing. You cannot say, I breathe in the morning, that's good enough. You cannot. That's a state. You have to be, or otherwise you are dead. And exactly the same thing. Promoting good and fighting evil is a state. It is not an act. You have to be in 24/7 in a state of alert. Am I doing and saying and thinking the right way, or I am not? So it is a continuous process that you have to take it by this. And you have to do it like Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us. If you can, do it by your hand. If you can, by your tongue. If you can't, by your heart. وَذَٰلِكَ أَضَعْفُ الْإِيمَانِ. And this is the weakest state of Iman. That means, if you cannot do anything about it, you got to the point of believing that you don't do anything about it, that is the weakest form of Iman. But why it is the weakest form of Iman? What is the strongest form of Iman? The strongest form of Iman, when you believe, not only believe by your mind, by your soul, and by your feeling. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants something to happen, إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُ إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا أَنْ يَقُولُ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونُ. If you want something to happen, it will happen. That's who you're dealing with. That's who you work for. And when he wants, he will make your enemy serve you. Not he prevent him from attacking you. He will make your enemy serve you. Take care of you. That's the Iman. That's the level of Iman. See who protected Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. Who provided him the best living, the best protection, the best education. Who? يَأْخُذُ عَدُوٌ لِي وَعَدُوٌ لَهُ. The most imminent enemy to Allah and to Moses. One of the signs of a good Iman, the healthy Iman, that it trained itself to promote good and fight evil, does not have fear. There is no fear in the heart. Only fear about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fear from Allah. وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَانِ لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. They have no fear, they have no sadness. These are the genuine servants of Allah. I hope that we all will be among them, inshallah. Like I said earlier, there is no substitute. Either you are doing the right thing, sometimes there is more than one way to do a right thing. And in some cases, there are more than one type of the right thing. But when it comes down to religion, either it is right or it is wrong. There is nothing in between. Either you are doing it or you are not. Because if you are not living by what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordained, you automatically will fall on the second category, which is the convenient. What is your convenient? What's what you think it is good for you? What you think it is right, and you keep adopting and performing what you think and what is the culture and habit and tradition asking you to do, and what you end up doing. If you travel a little bit, you will see what's right in one culture is not right in the other. Which one of them is right? But if you travel anywhere you want, it has the same Quran, right is right and wrong is wrong. Maybe people don't follow it, but it is still what's right is right and what's wrong is wrong. As simple as this. You are required, every single one of us is required to promote good and fight evil. But here is the dilemma. I can do the prayer alone. I can do the fast definitely alone. But here it comes. When it comes to promote good and fight evil, it is individual responsibility for the act of group. It is my responsibility to do it. But it is your responsibility too. So my responsibility and your responsibility to get together to make sure that it will be done right. والمؤمنين والمؤمنات بعضهم أولياء بعض يأمرون بالمعروف وينهون عن المنكر. The believer, the genuine believer, they are allies to each other. Why? They promote good and fight. Another thing, promoting good and fighting evil is the base of the relationship between Muslims. This piece is new. This piece is new. How it is new? Most of us, I stick with my countrymen. I stick with the people that from my language. I stick with the people from my social status or my professional or. And I go alone with them. Whatever right is right and whatever wrong is wrong, but I'm standing up by it. I cannot accept or tolerate to do something different or to be rejected by them. I have to be one of the guys, wherever I am. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying no. This is not the base of the relationship between Muslims as individuals to build the groups. But what is the base for this building? It is confirmed in two ayahs, in two different surahs. والمؤمنين والمؤمنات بعضهم أولياء بعض. Mu'min coming from Pakistan and another one coming from Alaska, they are allies. I am sure sincere people sitting down here, if they're going to speak their native language, the one sitting next to you will never know what you are doing. But when we say, oh, Allahu Akbar, we're all standing up one way. And we all pray behind one imam. That is the relationship and the nature of the relationship. Why? Because we're all here to do good, not to do bad. We follow the lead that they are doing good, not they are doing bad. And in the second one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ أُخْوَةً. They are brothers and sisters. The believer, they are brothers and sisters. Without identifying nationality, ethnic groups, color, social status, whatever that is. So you yourself, when you are trying to communicate with other people, you have to know what the selection. Who, the base of your relationship, the base of your loyalty, the base of your relationship, it must be based on who you are dealing with. Are those people, are this group, they are promoting good and fighting evil, or they are providing a lip service? Neither you or I have the luxury, by the meaning of the word luxury, to have a bad influence in our life. We cannot afford that. Life is too short. Our sin and shortcoming and weaknesses and ignorance is more than enough challenges as it is. I need the one who is going to help me out, not the one who is going to hinder me and pull me down. I don't need that. So you have to be extremely selective. And here is a choice. You can. It is nothing easier than going out there to a good Islamic bookstore, and buy good books in fiqh and in sharia and sit down for a month or so and keep reading day and night, you will know. You will have a good knowledge. You will have knowledge. It doesn't have to be a good knowledge. And next thing you know, you are pointing your finger out to the people. You are doing this right and you are doing this wrong. It is true, our responsibility is to look after each other. But this is not the way to do it. The prime candidate for promoting good and fighting your evil is yourself. Yourself. وَأَمَّا مَنْ نَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. اللهم اجعلنا من أهلها. Your challenges. Remember this. I don't want to make it long. But remember this. Shaitan, وَالْعَزُ بِاللَّهِ, if you study the history and the history of disobedience, the act of disobedience, there is a lot of scholars who says الكفر ملة واحدة. That means the blasphemy, it is one style. And using the same technique. There is nothing new. The same technique. Like a fisherman, he go and put the bait and he pull, throw it in the water. You have a million fish down there for every time he's going to get a fish. Did the fish learn it that this is a trap? No. Every time he go and fish. And the same way Shaitan is doing with us. The Shaitan got 6 different ways. He doesn't have 7. And he doesn't modify his, by the way. He's very classic and very traditional. 6 different ways. And he will try them all with you, one after the other. And he's going to make a combination out of those 6. But what is the unfortunate part? 3 among the 6. 3 among the 6. Makes you believe that what you're doing is right and you are a very religious person. When you get to the point you feel that you claim to be knowledgeable more than anybody else, that you are more pious than anybody else, that what you do is better than anybody else, that is the act of shaitan itself. Because in this case, you are saying to yourself, what? Ana khayrun man. I am better than him. When you start to point your finger to other and you say, this is wrong and this is wrong, that's not what it meant it to be. What it meant it to be is by your behavior. And out of passion and love to promote good and fight evil. And before passion and love, you must have knowledge. And you have commitment. And you have extraordinary patience. Let us seek from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgiveness and guidance. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless our gathering. And to forgive all our sins and all our mistakes and all our shortcomings. And bless our gathering and make us wise enough to study the teaching of the Holy Quran and the teaching of Sayyidina Muhammad and apply it in our life so we can live in peace and die in peace, inshaAllah, in the hereafter. Allah. Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulillah, wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah, wa ashhadu anna Sayyidina Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. وأشهد أنه قد بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة وجاهد في سبيل الله حق جهاده حتى أتاه الله اليقين. I want to make a certain point very very vivid and very clear. Accepting wrong is wrong. When you see somebody doing something right and you don't stop them, or you do any effort to stop them, you are already partner in it. Accepting disobedience is an act of disobedience. There is a natural law. A natural law, that means what? It is applicable anytime, anywhere. If goodness and good decided to compromise and live with evil, evil will never accept to live with good. Will never ever accept to live. Never going to say, okay, I can have my way and they have their ways. So if you accept the evil, evil will not accept you. And you look at the Holy Quran, you will see all the examples. Look at Qawm Lut. When they decided to kick the people out, what was their crime? The other one, they were living in peace with them. Did they steal them? Did they kill? Did they did that, right? No. What was the crime? The crime of the believers among the Qawm Lut, Lut people. Get them out. Why? إنهم قوم يتطهرون يحبون أن يتطهروا. These people, they purify themselves. They don't do what we do. They don't do the act والعزو بالله of homosexuality. They do not do these things. Look at those. They like to purify. Right turn out to be wrong, and wrong turn out to be right. And what you're supposed to condemn, you accept. And what you are supposed to accept, you condemn it. Can you imagine discrediting people because they remember Allah? You're discrediting people and calling them because they purify themselves? It is a crime. And look, to when you accept to live with it, they never accept to live with it. We have to keep that in mind all the time. So our job in life is to sum. It's like exactly look at yourself as a pea. This pea go out right there, reciting the Quran, like the bee collect all of the material to make the honey. Your job also is to go out and makarim al-akhlaq and promoting good and fighting evil, and come and see according to the manual, which is the Quran, and how Sayyidina Muhammad do it, and you do your life. Your life must be constant state of promoting good and fighting evil. Evaluate what you are doing, worry about yourself before you worry about others. And when you come to feeling the responsibility of others, you have to learn how to do it. And I'm going to finish the khutbah by giving a good example. One day the grandsons of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Al-Hasan and Al-Husayn, they were passing by, so they saw a little, an old man. He's making wudu, ablution, but he's doing it wrong. So they talk to each other, but please pay attention to the nature of the response. These are kids, little kids. They could have said, why? Listen, this is not like my father, not even grandfather. They are bigger. He's bigger than that. Why don't we go and tell the Prophet or tell somebody to come and talk to him? No. They decided right there and there to correct the man. But the problem is this, how are we going to do it? How are we going to do it? How are we going to tell him that what you are doing is wrong without hurting his feeling and getting the message across? There is nothing easier. Nothing easier than come and say, you are wrong. And you put your high heel and you think, like I said, Shaitan got six ways. One of the three out of them is among those behaviors. Is when you think you are better than others and you started to push people around. So why they decided how we going to do it? But the question here was not, should we do it or not? That was not a question. Going to have to be done, going to have to be done. Once we witness it, we have to do it. And this is how we supposed to behave, and this is how we supposed to raise our children to do. And if we are our family keepers, that's what we supposed to do. So they said, okay, the best way to do is this. Let us go to the man and ask him. They pretended that they have a fight between them. So they got the man involved and they said, please, we want you to be a judge between us. me and my brother in a conflict. We have a conflict here. He say that I'm doing the wudu wrong, and I'm saying no, he is doing the wudu wrong. And they say, okay, both of us will do it in front of you, and you judge and tell us which one is the right way. See the polite, the ethics, the commitment. And here you go. The first one started to perform the wudu the way that the old man was doing it. And the second one, after he finished, he did it the way that Sayyidina Muhammad did it, alayhi salatu wassalam. The man simply got the message. And he said, wait a minute, who are you? He said, we are Al-Hasan Al-Husayn. He said, yes. These are the behavior of the descendant of Sayyidina Muhammad alayhi salatu wassalam. Did they turn their back? No. Did they promote good and fight evil? Yes. Did they stand for it? Yes. Did when they left, they said, Alhamdulillah, we did the right thing? Yes. Did the man was happy when he is leaving? Yes. Alhamdulillah. You see, the now the Muslim job is big. Responsibility is very big. And head of a household is a lot more bigger. Sayyidina Muhammad alayhi salatu wassalam, he never, from A to Z, never faced a certain people and he say, why did you do that? For promoting good and bad and evil, that is a science. It is not tradition or habits. It is a science, complete science. Even if Sayyidina Muhammad saw one person and the person see that Sayyidina Muhammad saw, but what happened? Sayyidina Muhammad will gather the people, or if this they think, and he's going to say, مَا بَالِ قَوْمٍ يَفْعَلُونَ so and so. How about a people, they do this and do this and do that. For those people, they should not be doing that, they should do that. The people sitting down, they know themselves, they correct it, nobody else know what happened, and nobody else know who did what. That is Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who if he's going to tell you anything, he will do it. And you will accept him. Even more than what you accept from your own father or your own mother. Because it is for your own good. And that is, inshallah, when it comes down to the approach of raising our children, we have to answer a very important question. Are we really raising the children by correcting their behavior? Or we are destroying them by keep pointing the finger to them, focusing on their mistakes and shortcomings, make them feel inferior all the time, blaming themselves for right and wrong. And what do you expect after that? But inshallah, down the road, we will see how Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and how the school of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us how to raise children. Let us seek from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgiveness and guidance and blessing. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless our gathering and give us the wisdom and the courage to study the teaching of the Holy Quran and the teaching of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and apply them in our life so we can live in peace and die in peace. And inshallah, the hereafter will be in peace and will be among the companions of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in paradise. عباد الله قولوا لا إله إلا الله تفلحون عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون وأقم الصلاة الله أكبر.